The clock was ticking. The year is AD 64, and the insane and unspeakably cruel Emperor Nero is on the rampage, targeting the infant church, finding in the Christian community a convenient scapegoat for a smouldering city, blaming this new religious sect, Christians, for the great fire that devastated Rome. And the cry goes up, kill the Christians, stamp out the church, hunt down the ringleaders, cut off the head of this strange new creature, the Christian faith, and watch it die. Paul and Peter would both be martyred there in Rome, and then what would happen to their memories? The faith had been passed down by word of mouth from eyewitnesses to the great moments, and now they were being killed one by one by one. Something must be done to protect the heritage of faith. Before there were no eyewitnesses left, the story must be written down, the teaching of Christ saved. Word of mouth was no longer enough. Someone must record these crucial events. Mark was in a special place of opportunity. He had been in on the whole thing from the start, a close companion of Peter, as well as a fellow missionary with Paul. He had been up close and personal with the events, and especially with Peter. So now is the time, Mark, to get it all down, the people, the places, the stories and the events, the characters and the incidents. Tell the story. Keep the dream alive. Preserve the heritage. Take these eyewitness accounts and keep the record intact. So the experts tell us Mark's is the first gospel written in response to a crisis, a deadly assault on the fragile church. Sourced by impeccable sources, illumined by little personal touches from the people who were there. And written for more than just historical reasons. Written for gospel reasons. You see, this gospel, according to Mark, is not a biography, the life of Jesus, but a testament, a signpost, a summons to faith. You were not meant to read it, shrug your shoulders and then put it away. No, read it and be changed by it. Dare to read it and let its truth burn like a fire in your soul. Mark is a man in a hurry. You sense it, the urgency of it. His account cuts to the chase, fairly races along, at once, immediately, straightway. Time is not on our side on this one. The clock is still ticking. We perhaps forget how hard it must have been for the early church getting the message across to a world that knew nothing about Jesus, little or nothing about the Jewish historical context in which he lived and died. And yet the unmistakable summons was follow him. Abandon the familiar pagan rites and rituals and follow this same unknown Jesus. What a tough sell that must have been. And how eager new disciples were to learn more and more about what he said and what he did and where he said it and who he said it to and what it all meant. As the original disciples were being killed off one after the other, the story told by Mark and the subsequent gospel writers became a crucial tool in the evangelization of the empire, the testament of faith, the testimony of the early church, a source book for the faith. New followers wanted to know the story. Tell us more about this Jesus you invite us to follow. So Mark tells the compelling story of Jesus of Nazareth, teaching in controversies, healings, inspiring his compassion, his courage in face of opposition and certain death, dying and rising, and a cliffhanger ending, leaving you wonder what happens to his story next. Straight from the heart and mind and voice of Peter. From the very early days, the early church accepted that authority, and Mark's account became the basis of the other Gospels. Matthew and Luke and John wove Mark's account into their own material and their own collections of sources, told the story with their own emphasis, but always honouring and embracing Mark's original Gospel account, used from the very start. Truly, the beginning of the gospel. Naturally, as the leader of the disciples, Peter, the influence of Peter entrusted with building up the church, Peter leading the church to the very centre of the empire in Rome itself, naturally his insights, his memories, counted for something special. His telling of the story was profound and significant, authoritative, the inside scoop. And so this strange new kind of literature was born. Not a biography, not a simple history, but a powerful instrument of change, synonymous with truth. Gospel becomes a byword for integrity, honesty, and trustworthiness. This is gospel, meaning you can believe it because it's true. Enduring in power, a vital tool for evangelism. Gospel, demonstrating an impressive honesty, even about the hard bits and the failures. Peter having to fess up to his fear and failure, his denials and his derelictions. This great leader of the church, not airbrushed, but total, stark, sometimes embarrassing honesty. Mark comes with good news for a world that needs deliverance and hope. Good news to be told. He doesn't mince his words, nor does he apologise for this document. He tells us what it is. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Believe it or don't believe it, but this is what it is. And if this is what it is, we should give it some serious attention. We should be thinking, really? Well, I better find out what this good news is and who this Jesus is, this Son of God. And share that good news with others. It could make all the difference in the world.